Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Well, it's great to be with you this morning. Great to be down at Worthing-on-Sea. This week, and as you know, we're doing a series at the moment entitled "Your Kingdom Come," or "Your Kingdom Come." I like to put another word at the end of that: "Your Kingdom Come Now," because that's actually what Jesus meant when the disciples said to him, "Teach us, Lord, how to pray." He said, "Let your kingdom come," and what he literally meant was, "Let your kingdom come right here and right now. Let your will be done here on earth, right here, right now." And this morning I want to talk about kingdom life. Is that okay? Kingdom life. And we're going to turn to a scripture in Romans chapter 8. I'll need my glasses for this. Romans chapter 8. And starting at verse 1. While you're on the way there, you know that there's something called universal laws. Do any of you know that? And I was looking up about universal laws the other day, and I discovered that there's four universal laws, there's seven universal laws, there's 12 universal laws, there's 20 universal, there's all kind of universal laws, like the law of gravity, for example, friction, yeah, lift, thank you. Any other laws that you can think of? Thermodynamics. Quantum physics. There's loads of different laws that are out there, universal laws. And, you know, man's been looking into these laws and searching really for the meaning of life, why are we here, who am I, where do I fit into this great plan that someone has made all these incredible laws. We know who he is, but a lot of people don't know. And then there came along this theory of evolution. Somehow molecules became a human being. Doesn't even make sense, does it? It works against every other law in the universe. It's lawless. It's without law. There's no order in it. But what God has done with his laws, he's put everything in an order. And we're going to read this morning about the most important law that there is. You want to read about it? Let's read in Romans chapter 8. This is the law of his kingdom. It's about his life, kingdom life. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It says these incredible words. It says, "There is therefore now," right here, right now, "no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." If you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, then this is something that God wants you to find out by meeting with him, because he wants to bring you into a relationship with him where he places you in Christ Jesus, where you come to know him as a living Savior and Lord, and he comes to live in your life. So he says, "There's therefore now no condemnation," no shame, "to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the natural things or the flesh, self-life, but according to the Spirit." Walk according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, verse 2. This is the law that we're going to talk about this morning. This is the most important law that goes beyond the universe, all right? It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Does it say that there? Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is the most important law that there is, that God has given to us. And out of this law of the Spirit of life, every other law flows. And it says the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. So the only way that we can come to know this law of life is to actually come to know Jesus Christ personally. Yes. God has done everything by putting what he's done in Christ. Christ, the Bible says that Christ is all. He is my all and he is everything. And because he's all, in him is this law of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I want you just to say that with me this morning. To say this, the law of the Spirit of life,
the law of the Spirit of life,
has set me free from the law of sin and death.
The law of sin and
let's
death.
Just say that again. The law of the Spirit of life,
the law of the Spirit of life,
has set me free from the law, of sin and death.
Of sin and death.
I thought I'd bring a little prop this morning, so I'm going to dig deep into my little plastic bag here. Here we go. I just like playing in church, you know, that's really what it is. Here we go then. Now, this gyro helicopter called Hoverhawk, it looks okay on the outside, and it's a bit like my life was before I met with Jesus, because it's not doing anything. It is what it is. It might look good on the outside, it may be shiny, it may look good, but it's not doing anything. There's nothing happening on the inside. When I gave my life to Jesus, as many of you have here today, something happened. The light came on. Whoa! The light came on. And when the light came on, there was something happening on the inside of me. I invited Jesus Christ into my life. He forgave me all my sin. I asked him to. And I wanted him to take control of my life. So I handed my life over to him and said, Jesus, today my life is yours. And I remember this strange feeling as quite young that my life would never be mine again. That somehow from this day forward, my life would belong to him. Now, if you haven't done that yet, you need to. And we're going to explain why. Because he wants this greatest law of life that's in the whole universe and goes beyond the universe, the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. He wants you to experience it. He wants you to know him. Yes. He wants you to have this as a reality, that every day that you're walking in this spirit of life, this life flow of God. It literally means, in that Bible verse that we read, that this spirit of life it's God's kind of life. Right. I'm not just talking about human life or animal life. We're talking about the life of God, the Zoe, it's called in Greek, the Zoe life. That's God's life that he imparts into us when we turn to him and give our lives to him. But we have to do that. We have to believe in him. Yes. The Bible says we need to repent of our sin, of our wrongs, turn our lives over to him, see that Jesus died on that cross, and so that we could be forgiven, rose again from the dead, so that we could literally receive not just forgiveness, but receive his life. And then begin to live out of that life, and then begin to give that life away to others. That's what the Christian life is all about. So, here we go then. This is my prop this morning. I'm going to show you something, if I may. I haven't had long to practice this. It's a long while since I've done this. So let's give it a go, shall we? Here we go then. Now, there's something wrong with this helicopter. Anyone noticed?
It's going
round
in circles.
It's going round in circles. A little bit my life was like that once upon a time, going round in circles. And have you noticed something else about this wonderful helicopter I've got? It's not flying. So there's something that's happened on the inside of it. It's going around in circles. Probably die in a minute. But the sad thing is, although it's got life and it's got energy in it, it's going around in circles and it's not actually doing the thing that it was supposed to do. It's not actually flying. So I'm going to stop it. That's also a little bit like my life was some years ago. That I had God living, I had the Holy Spirit living in me, but somehow I was going around in circles. Anyone ever been there? Perhaps you're there this morning, but we've been there. But the other thing is that God wants us to lift off. If this was to be, I discovered, there's something else about this helicopter that I've learnt, is this was being left on a shelf, because I live a busy life, and been on a shelf for at least 18 months, and I haven't touched it. And so when I went to operate it yesterday thinking it might fly, it did just what we just saw it do just now. It didn't even get off the ground. And if we don't use what God has given to us, we're going to get a little bit stuck as well. We have to exercise faith in God. We need to practice and release the life that God's given to us so that we can learn how to fly. If this was working properly, we call it, there's this law, Jonathan mentioned it earlier, the law of lift. The law of lift. Let's just read that verse again in Romans 8. Because it says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, the law of lift, from sin, from the law of sin and death. I used to be under the law of sin and death. Then I gave my life to Jesus. And I still had some things that kind of really bothered me. So I went around in circles for a few years and struggled with some stuff that God had to help me through to bring me into a real place of freedom. You know, this law of lift, where, you know, a helicopter or an aircraft actually rises above another law, the law of gravity. And you know that this is a good picture of what God does with us through the Holy Spirit, that he actually has come to literally set us free and to lift us by the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus and lift us up into a new place where we get baptized with his love, baptized with his life, filled with his power. And this power enables us to live a new life. And it really works. It brings freedom to it. God wants us to live free so that we can set others free. Do you agree? This is called kingdom life, the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. And this life God has given to you this morning. And he wants you to experience in ever-increasing measure so that you can actually look back even to last year and say, thank you, Father. I've grown this last year. I know more of Jesus today than I did last year. My love for him has deepened because he's revealed more of his love to me. I'm living in a greater capacity of this life that he's given to me. So this life doesn't just stop just by inviting Jesus in, but this life actually increases. So we get bigger on the inside. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen. Yes.
And so God wants us to really know that there's no condemnation. There's no shame. God wants to get rid of all shame in our lives. That's the first thing. He wants to get rid of anything that's hindering us in our walk with him. And his kingdom is full of life. That's what it really means to know Jesus, to know him, to know his life, and to know his life living in me, knowing Christ living in me, that God has put me in Christ, and Christ is living in me. Those two things, they work together. And because of that, this law of the Spirit of life has set me free. Let's go to another couple of scriptures. Let's go to the letter of Galatians, if you can find the letter of Galatians, chapter 5, and verse 1. And it says there, in verse 1, it says, Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom by which Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. It says something similar to this in the NIV. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. God wants us to stand fast in freedom. There's a freedom that Jesus has given to us that we need to live in and give away to others. Are you getting the message this morning? This is what it means to live in the kingdom. Kingdom life is about enjoying your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus, knowing the Holy Spirit living in your life, walking with him, sharing his life with you so that you can share his life with others. And this is indeed freedom. So stand fast in the freedom that he's given to you and don't be entangled with anything that would shackle you and stop you from becoming the man or the woman of God he wants you to be. God wants there to be breakthrough in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3, let's just go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. And you know, this freedom works anywhere. This life, this freedom works anywhere. It says in verse 70, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, he's here today, he's here in this place, there is freedom. There is freedom. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is incredible freedom. And that freedom is yours. Jesus paid for your freedom. He wants you to actually know this freedom in your life. He wants you to walk free, be free. And then if you're walking in freedom, you can set other people free as well with the gospel of Jesus. Now, this freedom has been purchased for us. This is the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. It has the law of lift in it. So when you walk into your workplace, you carry this spirit of freedom into it. Yeah. When you say hello to your neighbor who's struggling with stuff, yeah, you carry that spirit of life there. Yeah. You can do it in all kinds of ways, through words, through deeds, through all kinds of ways. But basically, you're a carrier of the spirit of life. What a privilege. What a privilege that we're carriers of the spirit of life wherever we go. In our communities, when we go out on the streets, wherever God sends us, wherever he sends us, we carry this spirit of freedom, and we're to see people set free. You know, in Acts chapter 1, let's just go to Acts chapter 1. It says there, you'll know this, chapter 1 and verse 8. It says that you will receive, what does it say? Power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then it says, you will be witnesses of me. What is this power? This power is the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. It's His life. It's His life. It's His power. It's His love. And we know what happened on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It says that God poured out His power on those early new believers on the day of Pentecost. This 120 people in an upper room, similar number, maybe just a few more than what's here today. But just imagine, we were all in an upper room, or we're in this theatre here, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Tongues of fire are seen, flames of fire come down upon every head, and we all experience a baptism of fresh power, of fresh love, of fresh life of Jesus Christ. This is literally what happened to these new believers, these early disciples. And what do they do with it? What do they do with it? Did they say, oh, that was a nice feeling? They went out and they carried this gospel of freedom to as many people as possible. And on that day, because of the moving of the Holy Spirit, there was 3,000 people got saved. I somehow realized that I'm not living in the fullness of what God wants me to. We're not in the place that God wants us to. We're in a great place. God is going to bring us to a place of such strength, such baptism, such power, such love, that we can walk in that and see others being impacted by that, by the Spirit of freedom. Does this make sense? I don't know if you're hungry and thirsting for more of the Holy Spirit. I am every day. And I say, God, do some more in me today, so that this fullness of the Holy Spirit isn't for me. It's so that I can be effective in reaching others for Jesus, so that they can become repentant, saved, filled with His love, filled with His power, so that I can see others being set free. I remember it was last year, I think it was, when we were working in the square in Crawley, and I took some of the students from the Bible College at the time, and we went up to this lady with the freedom that we had. And I remember this just couple of started to engage in a conversation with her, and we talked to her, and before long she began to open up her whole life, really, to us. And she was, I'm guessing she was in her late 60s. And as she began to share some of the difficulties that she'd faced, some of the things that she'd been going through, she then described some of the terrible arthritis that was in her. And I could see she had twisted hands. You could see where arthritis had set in. And that she's in constant pain. And she tells me this bleak story. And I'm thinking, I've got the Spirit of life. I've got the Spirit of freedom on the inside of me. And as I began to talk to her about what it really meant to know Jesus, I said to her, you know, I can't remember her name now. Let's call her Gladys, shall we? Gladys. Let's call her Gladys. I said to her, Gladys, I said, Jesus is here right now. He's living in me. And because of the freedom that He's given to me, His life, He wants to touch you with His life today. He wants to heal you. And she said, does He? She said. I said, yes, He does. I said, would you let me just pray for you? If I just put my hand on your shoulder, would you let me do that? And she said, oh, yes, please do. And so it was an open invitation. And as I laid my hand on her shoulder, and God instructed me, as I was doing this, He instructed me, He said, just keep your hand on her shoulder. Just keep your hand on her shoulder. So I kept my hand on her shoulder, and I said, Jesus is touching you right now with His healing. I said, I command arthritis to leave your body right now. Gladys, be healed in Jesus' name. That's all I said. And I was about to take my hand off, thinking that's done. And He said, keep your hand on, keep your hand on. While my hand's there, she goes, oh, what's that? She said, what's that? I said, what's happening to you? And she said, there's all this heat going down my other shoulder that you're not touching. I said, that's because God's touching you. I said, that's His power, that's the freedom, that's His life touching you. He's healing you right now, Gladys. And then it began to come on the shoulder I was touching. And then she said, oh, she said, I've got this tingling down my arm. She was describing what was going on while we were just laying hands on her and releasing this life that God had given to us. It's incredible. And then the next thing I said, Gladys, just stand up. So she stands up, and I said, just let's move your arms around. She was going like this. She said, that's amazing. She said, all that pain is gone. It's left. She said, and then she starts being a witness. She starts saying, I've been healed. She said, I've been healed. I've been healed. And she had been. And I got to testify to the students that were with us on that day what had done. I said, you need to tell all your family, your friends, what Jesus has done for you today. He's alive, Gladys, he's alive. The reason I tell you that story is because each one of us today are carrying this, if we've given our lives to Jesus, he's given us his spirit of life. This spirit of life moves anywhere, will do anything, does the impossible things. I've seen God do amazing things. Some of the things, if I told you, well, no, you're believers, so you would believe me. But they're the kind of things that you have to scratch your head and think, how did that happen? I remember some years ago when, this is Claire, my wife, here. I remember when we were on holiday down in the Witterings some years ago now, and our boy, our son, was about 10 and a half, something like that. And I remember we went out for a swim, and when we came in, the tide had gone right out. If you've ever been down to West Wittering, which isn't so far away, you know the tide goes right out, doesn't it? In fact, it goes so far, you wonder where it's gone. You think someone's pulled the plug out. Yeah, and you can see the Isle of Wight. Anyway, when we came back in, there was this the tributary, the thing that runs out from Chichester and goes into the sea. It wasn't that wide. It was about as wide as this theatre, maybe a little bit wider. And it was quite shallow. It was up to about here. So I said to my son, come on, we'll cross over. But what I didn't realise was the tide that was coming in, and it was coming real fast. And we got about a third of the way through, and I thought, I don't know, that it seems to be just as far that we've got to go. And by this time, it's up to here. And I'm okay. I can swim on my own. I'm not a strong swimmer, but I knew my son maybe could do two strokes, and that would have been about it at that time. And by this time, it's up to here. And we're about halfway across, and I suddenly realise I'm in trouble. And when I looked across to the beach, the shore, people's heads were like pinheads. I thought, if I shout, if I wave, they'll think I'm having a great time here. And by this time, the water's up to here. And I'm desperate, because I realise that as the water's getting wider and it's coming real fast, I could see I'm in trouble. And I tried everywhere to go. I went this way. I went this way. I went that way. Everywhere I went, the water was, it was getting deeper. There was no way out. And this is what happened. I'm talking about the spirit of life that is inside of you, inside of me, the spirit of Jesus. I said, Jesus, like this. And by this time I had my son, I got him by the arms. I pulled him up so that he was up. And I said to him, I said, I'm going to have to let you go just for a minute to get some breath, because now the water's up to here. And I cried out to Jesus. And this is literally what happened. The moment I cried out to Jesus, it felt like down underneath the water on the floor, there were steps in the sand. There were steps in the sand. And I managed to step up like this. It's like there was, and we managed to come up out of the water and walk the opposite way, the way that should have been deeper, but we walked out and I got to shore. Praise God. That's the spirit of life that works and will work for you. Because why? Because Jesus Christ is living in you through the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to actually exercise faith in his life. It's not in us. I was desperate. I couldn't do anything. And that's usually the time when God moves the best. When we can't do anything and we cry out to him for help. But that's what he did. And he saved, literally, and my son still remembers it. We know that God saved us on that day. Saved our lives. And from something that would have been very serious. And this spirit of life will heal the sick. This spirit of life works miracles. This spirit of life, Jesus wants you to experience this spirit of life by giving your life to him. And those of you that have given your lives to him, to walk with him daily. Let's go to John's Gospel, shall we? Chapter 6. John 6, verse 63. John 6, verse 63. We're talking about kingdom life this morning. Let your kingdom come now. Let your will be done on earth now, as it is in heaven. God has a plan for you to walk in. And he wants you to be walking in his plan. And part of his plan is for people to be saved, people to be born again, people to be healed, to demonstrate God's love and demonstrate his life and his power. And Jesus gives these words. He says, it's the Spirit who gives life. The Spirit gives life. The flesh or the natural profits nothing. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. I remember we went on a mission many years ago now, and a young boy, he was a teenager, headed up a gang, and they'd gone ghost hunting. And this was up in Scotland. And when they went out ghost hunting, we told them before they went, don't do this, it's foolish to do this. They went ghost hunting in a place that was well known for occult activities. And about an hour later, they came back to this outreach center. We were holding an outreach for young people. And this rough, tough lad that headed up his gang, they'd actually seen something in the woods where they'd gone, and they saw a pair of eyes. And this pair of eyes basically overcame him so much that when he came back, he walked through the door, and he was actually possessed by these demonic spirits. And I don't know if you've ever seen someone like that, but it's not a pretty sight. And as he walked in the room, frothing at the mouth, and he looked like an old man when he walked into the room. Big, tough guy he was when he went, but when he came back, he wasn't. And I've got the Spirit of life in me. You have too. And what we need to do is we need to see Jesus help set this young boy, this young lad free. And as he came, we took him into another room because there's loads of young people there. And you could feel the atmosphere just changing in an instant as he walked in the room. It was evil. It was horrible. But the Spirit of life was on the inside of us. As we took him into this other room, we commanded every spirit to leave him. And by this time, he was on the floor and he got completely set free. It didn't take long. We commanded those spirits out of his life. And when he got set free, we were then able to bring him, lift him up, sit him down, calm him down, give him a cup of tea or Coke, whatever it was, and then we led him to Jesus. He actually got born again that night. So he experienced two kingdoms, the kingdom of Satan, the dominion of Satan, and then he experienced the kingdom of God by inviting Jesus Christ into his life. God wants us to know that we have power, we have authority. This Spirit of life has authority in it. It releases the light and the presence of God to set people free. Yes. That's what you have when you pray. If as you pray with the Holy Spirit's help, he will enable you to pray God's word. Jesus said the words that he spoke are spirit and life. And this spirit and life actually sets people free. And God wants us to learn how to pray in the Spirit, with the Spirit, and release his life in prayer so that his kingdom can come and his will can be done. I know that you do that. We do that in Kingdom Faith, don't we? We pray a lot, but God has taught us pray more in the Spirit. Learn how to pray in the Spirit, because what you'll do, you'll release the life of God, release the life of the Holy Spirit. And then I want us to go to Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans 5. We're talking about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. Hallelujah. Let's read these words here. This is chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in pressures, tribulations, knowing that tribulation or pressures of life produce perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character produces hope. And that word hope means joyful expectation. Now, joyful expectation or hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God, that's the Spirit of life, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Are you getting this? Hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. You know, I don't know about you, but I find that if I give out a lot, God wants to give me more. But I also find that sometimes I give out more than I fill up. That makes sense? And I have to go back to the filler, back to God, back to the source, and allow Him, ask Him to fill me again with the Holy Spirit. It's a daily thing. And we need to actually receive that fresh flow of His life. It's not that we don't have His life, but we need to be full of His life. There is a difference. And you sometimes you can be half full or half empty, whichever way you look at it. But God wants us to be filled up to the overflow. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please come and fill me. We need to do that daily. And the more we give out in God, the more He will fill us up. But we need to be constantly coming to Him and asking Him to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. And as He fills us up, the Spirit of life comes in a fresh way every time. It's never the same. It's always fresh. What God does is always fresh and new. And He wants us to experience that freshness of His presence every day. Amen. He doesn't want just to give you the filling of the Holy Spirit to make you feel good. He wants to fill you with His love, His life, His power, so that you can actually take it out wherever you go, so that God's kingdom is being revealed through what you say and what you do. And He wants us to be so active doing it that this, when we come together on a Sunday, we find the place is too full. We find it so full that because we're finding ourselves engaging with people in a new way, because the Spirit of life is flowing through our lives, that we're able to invite them to maybe on a Sunday, maybe to something else that we're doing in the church, maybe to our homes, but we're encouraging people to come into knowing what it really means to be born again, saved and filled with the Spirit. Does that make sense? God wants to encourage us today. He wants us to fill us up afresh with the Holy Spirit, with His kingdom life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm going to show you something here. This is something I picked yesterday. This is a live example, right? Anyone know what that is? No prizes for the right answer. This is a pear. It's only one pear. Yeah, sorry, I forgot the other one. We have a tree in our garden. Last year, it's a fairly new tree. It bore about 4 or 5 rotten pears. It was terrible. It wasn't bearing the right kind of fruit. This year, all we did, we didn't do anything special. All we did was we just kept watering it, just watering it. And it's produced a great bumper harvest on this little tree of pears. And the reason I'm showing you this pear is a picture of your life. Okay? It's a picture of your life. This pear grew because it was connected to a tree that was watered. And if I won't break it open right now, but these are delicious pears. I ate about 4 of them yesterday. They're juicy pears. They're full of life. And the pear didn't have to try hard to be at the pear that it is. It just needed to stay in place. It needed to stay connected to the tree. And the life that was in the tree that came from being watered and from the sunshine and everything else made this pear what it is. God wants you to be a fruitful pear so that other people can taste and see that God is good in your life. He wants you to taste His goodness by being like this pear. You don't have to try hard. You just need to stay in position with Jesus Christ. You just need to stay in that place where you're connected with Him. There is therefore now no shame, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the natural things of life, right? But set free. Who are absolutely set free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. This is the law of life, God's life, that is put within us. I just want us to conclude this one by responding to God. And we're going to have an open opportunity really for you to be prayed for this morning if you'd like to receive prayer. And there's a number of things that I believe that God wants to do. I believe that for some people here today, you know what was said earlier about shame. And by the way, we're not going to interrogate anyone this morning and say, well, what is it? No, you just need to hand it over to God this morning. And He'll lift it from you this morning. And as we agree in prayer together today, as we agree together and pray for you, God is going to lift shame right off of you. Amen. You know, He did it on the cross 2,000 years ago. He broke all my shame there. So I never have to remember about past sins or anything like that. It's all done. It's done and dusted. It's forgiven and washed away. And Jesus wants to lift away shame today for a number of you here today. Others of you today, he wants to heal you. His healing grace and power is here today. This all comes in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is full of life today. And that life carries healing, power, love, goodness, freedom, all of those things that he wants for you to receive. So if you need healing this morning, please just come forward and you can just say, yeah, I've come forward to be healed. And there'll be a group, I'm sure, that will join with me here as we pray in agreement with God. God wants to heal you today, now. His kingdom is now. And he wants to do on earth today what he's already established in heaven. He wants you to be fit and well. Amen. And then the third area is, if you know that you just want to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit of life, because you want to be a witness for him, you want that power of his love to flow through you in a new way, please come forward as well, and we'll pray for you that God will just freshly fill you. Come with expectation. It won't take long, but you just need to receive. And God's going to send the water of his rain upon you afresh today. Is that all right? God wants us, all of us. If you're in a great place and say, well, actually, I don't need any of those things. I'm living in this place today. I'm healed. I'm well. There's no shame. And I'm living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. One, that's fantastic. Then make this week the best week that you've ever lived. Yes. Carry the gospel to Jesus. The reason God wants us to be free is always so that others can experience his freedom. It's never just for ourselves. It's one thing for us to know the freedom in our own lives, but it's actually so that we can carry the good news of Jesus Christ to others. And there's one thing, most important thing that I've missed, and that's if you've never given your life to Jesus, you're not sure, am I really God's? Or perhaps you know that you've not given your life. Today's your day. Today's your day. Jesus died on that cross for you. Why did he die on the cross? Because he loved you so much. And he knows that none of us can save ourselves. We need a Savior. He's already come. He's already died on the cross. He's already carried our sins. He's already took our sicknesses and our burdens. He's already done it all for us. And we know the end of the story, that he rose again from the dead on the third day. He's alive today. And I urge you today, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, really given your life to him, to be a follower, a disciple, then today's your day. What will it cost you? Everything. It will cost your old life. Well, what's your old life worth? It's worth nothing. It really is worth nothing compared with the life that he wants to give you. His life, his resurrection life, he wants to give it to you today. So maybe that would include everyone to come down this morning to receive prayer. I don't know, but let's just respond, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.